Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Now, before we start our class tonight, I know this isn't Sunday morning, and I want it done on Sunday morning at the second service, but Chris and Laura, would y'all come up and tell us how Sunday went? Please. You already given me homework. Now you want me to come up and speak?
You want to come up, Tom? No, please, come on up.
Okay, we had the youth group got together, the Plano and the Wiley youth groups got together on Sunday, 3 o'clock, thereabouts, and we had, I don't know, we must have had 40 kids, 50 kids, something like that, at least, and then from the youth groups that came out, so we probably had maybe 50 kids. Let's say I had, I'm trying to count how many football teams we had, so we were playing flag football. And so we had 50 plus kids that came out for the afternoon, and it was really fun. Lori had put together some activities for the kids to participate in when they first got there. When we got there, we prayed together and kind of talked about what was going to happen, then did some activities, and they had a good time. We have some great pictures of the kids trying to eat a donut that was hanging from a string. So they were, you know, so we did some of the silly Halloween kind of, you know, fall festival activities. The toilet paper one was pretty funny with toilet paper all over the place, but it was clean. It was clean toilet paper. It was just fresh rolls, by the way. The biodegradable. No, it goes in the trash easy enough. And then we played some football, so the kids got to play flag football and enjoyed that for a period of time, and then ate some hot dogs that Brian and Larry had grilled. I don't know how long Brian was outside grilling hot dogs, but they came prepared for that, and everybody brought a bunch of food and other assorted things to snack on. And then lots of families came out. So we had I don't know how many we would say, probably a couple dozen, no, about a dozen or so families that were there. All together, Jonathan, our friend Jonathan and his girlfriend came out, who we haven't seen in a long time, and praying for Jonathan, which was awesome, and got a chance to visit with him a little bit. And then Trey did about a 30 minutes or so, 20 to 30 minute Bible study, and just really enjoyed that time together. And the parents sat in and listened, and really got a chance to explain the gospel and some other assorted theologies that we were like, wow, he's going there today? Okay, hold on.
Kids were asking questions, and Garen Fisher, who came to camp with us, you remember his sister Jessica, they had just lost their dad 2 weeks before camp. Herman, you know what I'm talking about. And he's been going to Bible study at Larry and Brian's on Wednesday. Is he a fifth grader this year? I think he's a fifth grader. He was asking so many questions of Trey, and he knew the answers, the gospel, and it was amazing. It was really amazing. So it was a God-filled day. It was awesome.
It was really neat. We enjoyed it.
Good. Thank you very much, and be prepared Sunday to do the same thing.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Can I just push play?
Okay, let's open God's precious word to the Gospel of John 18. Hope you enjoyed Vasco last week, and he made it through Tucson, so I guess he made it Fassel? Fassel. Like Castle. Fassel.
We did get an email that they made it back.
Do what?
We got an email from them that they made it back.
Okay, good. I knew they made it to John's, and okay. All right, it's been a couple of weeks now since we've been here, but let's begin with a word of prayer. I suppose a small percentage of Christians know the six trials of Christ. But I think a large proportion of the world know about the betrayal of Judas and the denial by Peter. And there are just a ton of lessons to be learned from Peter. And we're going to work our way through all of these things, but it is just a powerful, powerful study the denials by Peter. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, trusting the Spirit. You've made the effort to get here, so let's do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love and value this book. This book, Heavenly Father, is our life that brings us to You, to Your Son, to Your Spirit, to Your plan. We pray, Father, now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see, the record, why You've kept such good detail on the three denials of Peter. So, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we have completed the trial before Annas, covered only by John. Then we covered the denial of Peter, the first denial, in John 18, 25 and following, which we'll look at in a few moments. We looked at it in Matthew 26. We looked at it in Mark 14. The reason we're not turning to it, because we will in a few moments. And Luke 22. We look at now at the third denial by Peter. And so let's just read the third denial in John, and then we'll pick it up where we are. So John chapter 18, verse 26 and 27. John 18, 26. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter therefore denied it again, and immediately a cock crowed. Now, we ended last 2 weeks ago with the cock crowing. Why a cock and why three times? And we'll be going back over that in a few moments, so we'll just get into our study. Now, let's take a look at Peter's third denial by the other synoptic gospel writers. First of all, let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Each one gives us a little detail. John didn't give us a whole lot. Just recorded it and moved on. But let's take a look at Matthew. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, 69 and 70 are the first denial. So just get us back into the momentum of our study. 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And a certain servant girl said to him, came to him. Now, we know this was the one that was at the gate. That's why he says certain. Came to him and said, "You two were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." Now, the second denial is 71 and 72. And when he had gone out to the gateway, remember he left, didn't get out of there like he should have, but just got away from the fire. Another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, he had come back to the fire, apparently got cold, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." Now we come to the third and final denial, beginning in 73, so let's just take a little time now and see what Matthew tells us about the third denial by Peter. And a little later, now remember, we'll see it, Luke is to tell us about an hour. About a whole hour has passed now between the second and third denial. We'll get to that when we come to Luke. Giving Peter this hour, think about this hour. Now, we know what's happening to Jesus, but think about it from Peter's standpoint. This gave Peter time to think about what was going on. It gave him time to get out of there. If he had to use this hour, this is a grace hour for Peter. He had time to think it over and get out of there. I just denied my Savior. I need to get out of here. So this was a valuable hour for Peter. But he didn't spend it thinking. He did not go into prayer. Remember, Christ said, pray that you'd not fall into temptation. So he didn't get out of there. So a little later, the bystanders, plural, note the plural, because we have different accounts of what was said. And people like to make a big deal about this. It's simple. John says they, here we have plural, bystanders, people standing around, came up. So we know from John that there was a relative of Malchus whose ear Peter had cut off. This time it's not a girl. Remember, we saw the significance of it being a girl. This is a man. And I want you to note, he right out accuses Peter. He does so with confidence, boldly, and said to Peter, surely, not just asking, are you, surely you are one of them. For the way you talk gives you away. Talk about profiling. Boy, this is profiling and it's a maximum. And so in John, he saw him in the garden of the Lord, the one person that did, with the Lord. But before you get caught up on the different accounts, remember that John has already told us that there were more than one who spoke to Peter, so we're going to have really four different accounts. Luke marks this time it is a man who speaks to Peter. And now Matthew. And people don't speed read past that word surely. Surely. This is intimidating to Peter. The Greek means to speak with confidence. I speak with certainty that this is truth. It's a bold accusation against Peter. So it means truly. In spite of your previous denials, you too are one of them. You're one of his followers. You're one of the disciples of Jesus. And then he adds something. For the way you talk gives you away. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I really hadn't. Now, we know English. We know there's accents up in the north. They have an accent. Only the southerners speak true English. But up in north, they have an accent. California have an accent. All around have accents. And but I never thought about Greek has an accent. Just the way you talk. So up in Galilee, in the Galilean area, they talk differently than they did down in Jerusalem area. So these accents can identify you. I mean, people almost immediately know if you're from the south. Yeah, you're from the south. Sometimes if they know it well, you're from Alabama, you're from Texas, you're from this, you're from that. So, but apparently Greek also had this. Now, we see how the emotional strain that Peter's under, people. Remember, he's a young man. Just because he had a Galilean accent doesn't mean that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, nearly the whole city of Capernaum, which is on the Galilean Sea, the northern tip, rejected him. So just because someone was a Galilean, came from Galilee, had that accent, doesn't mean they follow Jesus. That's all Peter had to say. He said, I'm from there, but, you know, I'm not one of them. But he's pulled into all of this stuff. He's pulled into it strongly. So let's take a look now. We're in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we're getting ready for verse 74. Okay, Peter is under a lot of pressure. So verse 74. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. Now we get the final frustration. You can see how frustrated and intimidated Peter is. Don't get caught up in the dams and the hells. other words of profanity like a lot of self-righteous legalistic Christians do. You want to stay with what's being said, what's being communicated here. That's what's important. That's the great issue. It's what is being said. I was in the military. I was a driver for a brigadier general, and a major general came in, and the brigadier general went home, and I won't go through anywhere I stayed. So I'm out with the major general, and we're driving, and he doesn't have his captain who is his aide. It's just he and I. So I'm talking with him, and he turns to me, and he says, "Maddox?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Are you trying to witness to me?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir, that's where I was headed." And he said, "Well, son, I've been a Christian all my life, went to Baylor University, and on and on and on." And he said, "But you know, if you could get me to stop cussing, that would make my wife really happy." And I looked at him and I said, "And I'm just a nothing. He's a general, major general." I said, "Hell, sir, that's military language." He just busted out laughing. He said, "You are going to meet my wife and you're going to tell her that. You're going to communicate that to her." And my point is, people, you don't want to get caught up in all of that. It's what's being said. People get caught up in Peter cursing and swearing. Don't get caught up in that. What is he saying that is really important? That's the interest. That's the important thing here. What Peter does here is far worse than just letting out some ablatives and profanity, people. It's far worse. I want you to see the depth that Peter has stooped here. First of all, curse. This means to bring down an anathema. That's what it means. He is asking God to deal with him in an evil way. Bring down some manner of evil if he's lying that he doesn't know Jesus. People, that's strong. That's strong. That's what he's doing. He is using, binding with an oath, curse. This is very strong in the time frame of what we're reading here. So, God, if I'm lying, when I say I don't know this man, you bring down a curse on me. That's how powerful what Peter is doing here. Now, and swear. Let's add that. Here Peter calls on God to actually witness that he does not know Jesus Christ. And if he is lying, was calling on God to punish him if what he said was a lie. I don't know this man. I blankety blank do not know this man. And God, if I'm lying, you come and do something to me. That's how strong this is. Strongest form of denial. If anyone is going to lose their salvation for denial, it would be Peter. But Peter doesn't lose his salvation. He doesn't lose it. And God doesn't bring down some curse on him. He's going to receive unbelievable grace and love. But we'll come to that later. But I want you to see the intensity here. So if somebody, if you deny faith in Christ, you deny Christ, you lose your salvation. No, you don't. If anybody would, it would have been Peter. I hope you can see that. It would have been this man, Peter, right here. As Linsky, L-E-N-S-K-I, says, Peter was a groveling coward who was too pitiful to even look at. That's what he was. Just, he wouldn't even want anything to do with this Peter at this time. Now, I want you to know, in context, they did not arrest him. They did not grab him. They did not seize him. None of that. All that was inside of Peter. It wasn't even reality. Wasn't even reality. No one there is officially authorized to do that. Anyway. But he's had this fear in his mind. Now look what it says. And immediately a cock crowed. All right, first thing I don't want you to miss is that word immediately. How precise is the word of God? So there could be no mistake, no mistake about the relationship between Peter's denial and the word, the Lord's words prophesying his denial. No mistake. This wasn't 3 minutes later. This wasn't 5 minutes later. This wasn't along with all the other cocks in the neighborhood. This was this one. And as soon as he gave the third denial, pop, it crowed. Now, this brings up an interesting point. It's a sad point here. I hate to admit this. Calvinism is correct in dealing with animals. Not with humans, but with animals. See? They do exactly what God directs them to do. So at this point, when you're dealing with animals, Calvinism is right. Animals do exactly what God wants them to do. Well, the animal's going into the ark. Think about that. Think about that. All the animals, lions, tigers, elephants, all these wild beasts, lambs, all these things. I love the Noah's Ark cartoons. I wish I had kept a book of them. But one of them that I remember was there's the ramp and the water, and Noah standing in the water, and there's two grub worms. And he said, hurry, hurry, hurry. But they listened to what God wanted them to do. Balaam's ass. Balaam's ass delivered a great message. Wished I could deliver one as well as he did. What about a whale? A whale that picks up Jonah, takes him right to where God wants him, and then spews him out. It's just amazing. All these animals, see, that God wants to... A fish! A fish comes up and gives Peter some money. So animals do exactly what God wants them to do. And here, a cock that crows right on cue. Right with the exact moment that immediately when the Lord wanted him to. There is no doubt about the free will of man, and there is no doubt about the non-free will of animals. They do exactly what God wants them to do. Now, we studied why a cock crows. Let's just go through a couple of things very quickly to bring it to the forefront of your mind. Why a cock and why not a sheep? Baaing or a trumpet, the sound of a trumpet, that would have been good. The sound of a trumpet. See? This in itself is a stern awakening for Peter. For in Proverbs 30, we learn it speaks of the arrogance of a strutting cock. Arrogant. And I think I've overused it now. Judith just gets upset when I keep telling the same jokes over and over and over. And she just, I've heard that. But I love Foghorn Leghorn. I love those cartoons. Those are my favorite. And have always been my favorite. And he is just great. But he is a strutting cock. And they're arrogant. See? It wasn't a little sheep buying. It was a strutting cock, arrogantly crowing. Arrogantly crowing. Remember Peter? Reminding Peter of the warning by Jesus Christ when he crowed how great he was, how he would die. I would die for you. Oh, will you die for me? Remember that, Peter? That's what that sound of that cock is doing in Peter's ear, people. I'll show you that. That's what's happening. In the atonement, to the Jews, fowls that scratch in dunghills are unclean. So it is significant on the second round that it was an unclean fowl that announced the three denials of Peter. I'm sure that Peter felt unclean. I'm sure that Peter felt extremely unclean at this particular moment when he heard the cock crow. A cock crowing also gives us an indication of time. Look at verse 34 current song. Look at verse 34. Truly I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. So, when is this taking place? This is shortly before the dawn on Wednesday morning. I think it can safely say that no one. How many people do you think on this night, when the festival's going on, a special Passover, a special Sabbath, the regular Sabbath, all that's going on, million people in Jerusalem, they got their thing over here going with this Jesus, all that's going on. How many people do you think heard this cock crow? I don't think anybody but Peter. I think it was just a horn. I don't think Peter heard anything else but that cock crowing. This man's in turmoil, people. He is in unbelievable turmoil. Now, Matthew adds more information to what John gave us. Look at verse 75. Denial by cursing, cock crows, and now look at the next thing. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a cock crows, you will deny me three times. Now, do you remember how long ago that was that Jesus Christ told Peter those words? It may seem like a long time because it's taken us months, but it was just a couple of hours. It was in the upper room. Probably, now remember, Wednesday is from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the next day. Forget about our time schedule. So we'll say Wednesday evening, Tuesday evening, going into Wednesday for them. It's about, probably 9 o'clock that evening. And they're at the table. They're in the upper room. And that's when all this conversation goes on in the upper room. And Jesus uttered these words warning Peter. And then in the upper room we have the teaching events, and then we have the teaching events after the upper room, and then the Lord's Prayer, the crossing of the kindred, the Garden of Gethsemane episode, the arrest, and now Peter remembers. He remembers. It's just amazing. I can't even imagine what his soul was like at this moment. So look at verse 75. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, behold, a cock crows, you will deny me three times. And then look what else Matthew adds. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, Luke is going to add something even more significant or as significant dramatically in this. What Luke, and I'll just tell you right now, what Luke is going to add is that Jesus looked right into the eyes of Peter. I mean, just the unbelievable drama. And I know no one else saw it. Whoever that other disciple, unknown disciple is, I don't think anyone noticed what was going on. But our Lord and Peter. I think Peter was the only one that heard that cock crow. I think Peter was the only one that saw the eyes of Jesus. And he just looked right at him. And this is while he's cursing and using profanity to deny that he even knows him. And then look what happens. Put that in there right now. And then it says, and then he went out and wept bitterly. It's a very sad scene for Peter, people. And it's a warning for all of us. What I want to do is I want to note the emotional strain, what's going on in Peter. The emotional pattern of Peter. How he is controlled by his emotions. And it's a warning to all of us. People, this is not against emotions. Emotions are wonderful. I was taught that God doesn't have emotions, that these were just anthropopathisms. I believe he does. But emotions can never guide us. Emotions should never guide us. Let's just go through some things. One, first of all, we see in his emotion on a high point before the Lord. look at the Gospel of John 13 a moment. Hold your place here and just go over to John 13, and we'll see an emotional high. An emotional high for Peter. 13, and let's read together 36 to 38. 36 to 38, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. And Peter said, arguing with the Lord. Arguing. Why can't I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. People, he loved the Lord. I'm not taking that away, but it's in the flesh. And whatever's in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 8. Cannot please God. I want you to see his emotion. I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Okay, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. So we get that point. Secondly, then we see him under the control of his emotions in the garden. Remember where he drew the sword? He didn't just watch and observe what's going on. No, he drew his sword. And then next, we see him under the control of his emotions in his denial. Verse 74, he began to curse and swear. Notice shifting in his emotional pattern. And now, he's in emotional collapse. Emotional collapse. Matthew 26, 75. He went out and wept bitterly. It's a beautiful pattern of emotional swings. How our emotions can just take over and lead us astray. And calls us to do things we really need to think about. Emotions are wonderful, but they must always be under the control of thought and of prayer and of the Holy Spirit. This has been an extremely emotional night for Peter. I hope we can sense that. He had got all fired up about his love and his bravery for the Lord, then got all emotional in his fear, denying the Lord. And finally, he just broke down to all that had just happened to him. Broke down. And people, we're not talking crying. It says he cried, he wept bitterly. He did two things. Let's note them. He went out. My comment about he went out, that phrase in your Bible, he went out. He should have done this a long time ago. He should not have been there. But if he's in there, he should have done that within that hour. When he had between the second and third denial. He charges out of the high priest's courtyard. And apparently no one stopped him. No one got in his way. No one prevented him. It was on getting in that he had a problem, not on getting out. So he went in. He went out. That's the first thing he did. It's about the only thing he's done right tonight. Got out of there. And wept bitterly. The Greek word to weep refers not to just a normal crying. It means to wail. I hope none of you have ever had to wail in your tears. But if you have, you know what's going on with Peter. You know the low that's going on in this man's soul. How low. It means a heavy lament, implying not only the shedding of tears, but of a strong expression of grief. But people, that word isn't enough to express what's happening to Peter. We have another word, bitterly. He wept bitterly. This word is added to reveal what's going on inside the soul of Peter. He is so distressed in his mind and his soul, his whole person, to weep bitterly, weep in shame. This word reveals severe pain inside of Peter. We'll come back to this word in our Luke study, where we can put it together, all together, with the third denial, the swearing, the cock crowing, and remembering the words of the Lord, looking into the eyes of the Lord, which is only recorded by Luke. So we'll take a look at that. Okay. I don't want to summarize that yet. You got that in your mind? Let's go to Mark. All four do not tell us about the trial before Annas, but all four do tell us about the three denials of Peter. There's so many lessons we're going to learn from the three denials. So let's look at Mark 14. Mark 14. We won't spend very long here. Mark 14. And verses 66 through 68 is the first denial. Let's take a look at it. 66 through 68. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, seeing Peter warming himself. She looked at him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're talking about." And he went out on the porch. Verse 69, and the maid saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, not even to Peter, not to Peter, but to others, "This is one of them." Now, this is rather interesting. One of them, that is one of those who follows Jesus. Verse 70, but again he was denying it, second denial. And after a little while, Luke will tell us it's about an hour, we have the third and final denial. After a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, now Peter did not get out of there, he should have, but he didn't, he came back, "Surely you are one of them, you are a Galilean too." See, they're just profiling him all over the place. By the way, dressed, by his accent, all these things. And you got to remember, Peter is from Capernaum. Peter's come from Capernaum. When Judith and I were there, they have an area that they think, how they think that I don't know, but they think it's where Peter lived. And even if it isn't, he certainly lived in that bounded area where we were. Okay? Now, and he spent about a year and a half of his public ministry in Capernaum. All right, verse 71. But he began to curse and swear, again, calling on God to bring down wrath of his lying. "I do not know this man that you are talking about." People, that's denial. And immediately, a cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He began to weep. And that's all that Mark says. He wept. He didn't tell us he wept bitterly. And Matthew says he wept bitterly. But what I want to get to is Luke. So let's turn to Luke. Put all these together. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Talk about what? Okay. It's just to Mark. Now, we do want to remember, Mark is getting it from Peter. Okay? So, whether the Lord said twice or not, we don't know. But the point is that he would have had to have crowed then, and then he would have had to have crowed after the third time. The others are probably just concentrating on that third and final one. After he had denied it three times. Because the cock would have crowed maybe after the second one or the first one, but it was after that third one that the cock crowed immediately. So, whether it was after the first or second that he crowed, it's after the third that he remembered. Okay. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Does that answer your question? Probably Peter's own account. Just the others concentrated on that third one. They didn't. Mark didn't. He concentrated on the two of them. But Matthew and Luke and John just concentrated on the third one, which was the main one, the one that'll get him. Okay. All right. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and verses 55 through 57, the first denial. So let's read 55 through 57. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle, remember, who's doing this? Satan is setting the scene. Remember that. I want you to forget that. I was just driving down the street. I was just having lunch with her. I was just, that little word just will get you in a lot of trouble. That's Satan setting the scene. What could be more innocent? I was just warming my hands. That's all I was doing. Satan set the scene. It's cold, fire being built. So, and after they had kindled a fire, and right under Satan's orchestration here, in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him, as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, this man was with him. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." That's the first denial. Verse 58, second denial. And a little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." Peter said, "Man, I am not." Now what's important for us tonight is the third one. Verse 59. And after an hour, about an hour, so he had something different here that's significant, had passed. Matthew and Mark says after a short while, another man began to insist, that we saw with Matthew, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." Again, what jumps out here is with him. With him. Look back at 22:33. Chapter 22 of Luke, verse 33. And he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go, both to prison and to death." And then you'll recall in John, we saw how he was with the enemies of Christ around the fire. So that with, it just, we took up some points on that association. Who do you associate with? Okay. He is a Galilean. Dialect and dress, perhaps a dress. And this will be an issue coming up before Pilate. And just to show you that, look at 23:6. 23, verse 6. But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. So this is going to be a great issue. That he is a Galilean. And it's an issue right here that he is a Galilean. Now, this is the third time Peter is challenged as a follower of this Jesus. Only here with physical reasons. So let's just kind of go through piecemeal some things together. At first, simply you were with him. You're with Jesus the Nazarene. You are not one of his disciples. Then secondly, you are not one of his disciples, are you? This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. This one is one of them. The way he talks gives him away. And then third, he had the relative of Malchus. Did I not see you in the garden with him? You too are a Galilean. Okay, a little question, just for your thought. What would give you away that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? What would give you away? Who you associate with? Church you go to? That you own a Bible? Not only that you own a Bible, but you read it and study it? That you love as he loves? That's action. That you love one another as he loves? We know about gun control, and I think it's on its way here, no matter what happens in November. What about no guns, no Bible? What would that do to you? It's happened in the world. It's happened in the world. We're going to see things that we would not thought would have happened here. We already have, if you're my age. But let me tell you something. Germany experienced the same thing. Germans would have never thought the Bible would be taken away. Jews would be taken out. They never thought all these things would happen. Science would change against the Jews. It just happens. while we sleep. Okay. Peter's third denial. He does not deny that he's a Galilean, but he abruptly denies that he even knows this Jesus. He didn't say, I'm not a Galilean. No, he doesn't deny that. He denies that he even knows this Jesus. Look at verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about, meaning I do not understand what you're saying about me. Matthew and Mark, he denied in a rage of swearing and cursing. Peter's denial is now complete. Now, look what it says. And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. Luke adds to the drama by telling us that while Peter was swearing and cursing, God, bring down on me, bring harm, bring evil down on me. That's what you do when you curse and swear. That if I'm lying when I say I don't know him, you come get me. That's pretty adamant. That's not only telling a lie, that's asking God to be a witness of your lie against you. That's pretty dangerous. Okay. Now, but what we have here is, while he is swearing and denying, the sound of a cock crows, penetrates Peter's ears, and again, probably no one else heard it. It rang loud in his ears. And we studied why the cock and why three times. Luke shares with us something else more dramatic. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I would imagine if we could set the scene. Peter, cursing, swearing, I don't know him. The cock crows. He remembers what Jesus said, and I'm sure he looked up in the direction where he knew Jesus would be. Just out of impulse. And their eyes looked at each other. Where was the Lord? We're not told specifically, but we have some idea of a timeline because it's an hour between the second and third denial. So Jesus was probably, and we'll get to this next week, probably being taken from Caiaphas, whom we haven't come to yet, from Caiaphas to the Sanhedrin. If we're right on that, his face is bleeding, he's been beaten and spit on at the trial of Caiaphas. So it hit in the face. But at this point, as Jesus was walking under the guards, people, he deliberately turned and looked at Peter. This is powerful. It's emotional. Right into Peter's eyes. There are different words for the Greek to look. This is not the simple word blepo, which means to look. This is a compound, emblepo. Now that prefix en on the beginning of it, it means to or into. Jesus Christ looked concentrated and directly into Peter's eyes. He intently looked right into Peter's eyes. Now, at my age, I would say, are you looking at me? But Peter's young. His eyes are good. And he saw. He looked right into the eyes of Jesus Christ. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter while Peter is swearing and cursing. And hearing the cock crow and all their memory, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now note the time frame, the order that Luke gives us. I like the order Luke gives us. He's cursing and swearing. The Lord turned and looked at him. The cock crows. He remembered the word of the Lord. So don't you sense the drama? Peter has been challenged three times. Third time, he answers in cursing and swearing, I do not know him. As he swears and curses that he even knows him, some things happen. First thing that happens, he hears a cock crow. That's the first thing that happened. Then, immediately his eyes look right into his Savior's eyes. The very one that he was denying. The very one who told him he would deny. I can only imagine the pain went through this young man's soul. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then, cock crowing, looking straight into Jesus' eyes, Peter remembered. He remembered the word of the Lord. He had told him. Let's look at the word remember. Here we come to a wonderful example of divine inspiration of Scripture. Matthew, Mark, and Luke use three different words for remember. Three different words for remember. This is, to me, the doctrine of inspiration. How the Holy Spirit leads the writers of Scripture to write exactly what God wants without violating the vocabulary or the personality of the writers. Each one of these words tell a little something different. And this is a good example of this. Luke's word is the most revealing. The Greek word, and people, I'm not making this up, out of a lexicon. The Greek word means, carries the ideal of remembering after something occurs to cause the remembrance. You ever just been driving along and remember something? Nothing, no reason. You ever had a smell, a song, something happened, boom, and it just shot a memory into you? That's what this word means. It means something happened that put this into Peter's mind. That's what this word means. All through Scripture, you run into this. If you study Scripture critically, divine inspiration of Scripture, you've got in the Old Testament, Kings, Chronicles, and Samuel relate the same incidences and will use different words. It's their objective. I thought of a silly one here. Let me give you three different words. He got money. He found the money. He borrowed the money. They're all saying the same thing. It's just a different emphasis. He got the money. That translation, he got the money. That's the bottom line. No detail about it. He got the money. He found the money. That gives you the idea he was out searching for it. He borrowed the money. Now we know how he got it. So, three different words, and they're all right. They're conveying different ideas. So, Jesus Christ had already begun being beaten. This was the face that Peter looked into, people. It was the face that Peter looked into. The face that not many hours ago he looked up at or down at when Jesus was washing his feet. He looked across the table at the communion table. And now he's looking at his face, broken. And Peter is a broken man. He is a broken man. I'm sure he wanted to just die right here. And we're going to see. I'm going to take the time and show you what Jesus does with a broken heart. What Jesus does with a broken man. So that you can appreciate and know it and never forget it. We're going to take a look at what Jesus does. All right. And Peter looked into the face of Jesus. He saw the eyes of compassion, affection, reproach, and love. Let's look at the verse now. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he spoke to told him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. Remember that Jesus Christ told Peter these things in the upper room. Jewish time begins at 6 p.m. So this was sometime after 6 p.m. that Jesus Christ told him, probably around 9, if we take the things that had to occur to get into the upper room. So now, this is getting into early morning. This is getting into early morning. Peter now was able to put all these things together very quickly in his mind. Didn't take a very long now. And all his human soul could take was coming down on him. Therefore, verse 62. Look at verse 62. And he went out and wept bitterly. I love the way Dr. Luke tells us. The pattern and the sequence that he puts us in. He's just a broken man now. He's denied him crossing. He hears the cock crow. He looks into the face of Jesus Christ. He remembers how that face loves him, and that face is the very face that he denied. It told him that he would deny, and he's broken. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter now fully realizes what he had done. All his love, and all the faithfulness toward Jesus Christ, he had turned into a coward and denied him. Peter denied three times, each time more adamantly, to the third time when he cursed and swore, "I do not know him." That's denial, people. And again, I want to say, if anyone loses their salvation by denying that they believe in Jesus Christ, it would be Peter. And believe me, he did not lose his salvation, as I'll show you. He did not lose it. He did two things here. Look at it. He went out and wept bitterly. Okay, Matthew also tells us wept bitterly. Two different Greek words here to describe what's going on inside of Peter. The Greek word to weep, not the normal word for crying, it means to wail. It means heavy lament, implying the shedding of tears, also a strong expression of grief, but that wasn't enough. He added the word bitterly. This word added to reveal what is going on inside of the soul of Peter. People, the whole person of Peter is broken. The whole person of Peter is pain inside. This word is associated with weeping bitterly over the dead. That's what this word normally is used for. Weeping over the dead. And I'm sure that Peter feels dead at this time. We've already seen he feels like he is an unclean by the cock. And now, with this word, I'm sure that he just has this sense of being dead. Okay, it's time now that we learn from Peter's three denials. As I said, this is probably one of the most well-known stories of the crucifixion of Christ known by people throughout the world. The denial, the betrayal by Judas, because that's used in a lot of movies, the denial by Peter. And we're going to do these things not to judge Peter, but we want to learn from Peter. This was given for our edification, not so that we could judge him, but so that we can learn from him, so that we could be warned from him. And I'm not going to start now. We got 1 minute left. Next week we'll pick it up when we get it into a nice little package. We finished one package, taking the three denials. Next week what we're going to do is we're going to learn from Peter's three denials. And I've divided it into two parts. So we'll take a look at that next week. Any questions at all over the three denials? Yes. Yeah. All right, I can tell you where they are, but I'll have to look at the Greek again and get there. The reason I didn't is because they're not as significant as Luke's. Luke's is the most significant. The others just carry the ideal of remembering. Yes, but Luke's word, the word that Luke uses says something happened that causes this to remember. That's right out of a lexicon. Okay? All right, yes. Peter, okay, let me answer you just a lot of ways, hon. Peter was in the flesh, and all of the upper room things, dash, so were they all. None of them are shining forth tonight. He's just, the spotlight's on him, okay? But in the flesh, he did his boasting, and that's going to be part of our things to learn from Peter, but he did his boasting and all, and when we come to what the Lord does to a broken man, I think that's one reason this is recorded, so that we can learn what Christ does when we're broken. Sin, denial, whatever. What does Christ do to a broken man? It's going to be a powerful lesson to learn. But he's no different than Adam in the garden. Why did Adam do that? Why did Samson do what he did? Why did Judah do what he did? All these things. Just, why do we do what we do? It's a warning. It's a warning. It can happen to us. I would never deny him. Oh, you would never deny me? Truly? Really? Well, let's see if I can come up with a circumstance where you would. And let me assure you, Satan can. When Satan calls your name, people, you're down. You're going down. He took Job down. He took Peter down. He took Christ down. Job got up. Peter gets up, Christ rose from the dead. But when Satan calls your name, when Satan's after you, you're going down. That's going to be one of the lessons we'll learn at the end of this, of our lessons of Peter. I'm just kind of jumping around. But we're going to learn. Be careful who you judge and go help them. Don't judge them. Go help them. Restore them. I'm going to show you the love of Christ that we're to imitate. What Christ does. It's powerful. Okay. Yes. From the flesh. Yeah. Yep. And the thing about. Yes. Is your song right here, out of sight, out of mind? But no, that's exactly what we have going. And we're impressed with our flesh, people. Let's admit it. We're impressed with our love. But I love you. How could you do that to me? I love you. You're supposed to roll over and play dead. You're supposed to go serve me. We're impressed with our love. Spiritual love serves. Human love seeks to be served. I love you, you serve me. Spiritual love, I love you, I'll serve you. That's what we're, but we're so impressed with ourselves. We're impressed with who and what we are. We're impressed with our love. We're impressed with our sincerity. We're impressed with these things. That's why it's so important that we be in the power of the Spirit. And it's so tricky to stay there. So tricky, because the flesh just wants to boast. We're going to see that in 1 Corinthians Sunday morning. It's going to be a powerful statement in boasting that we haven't already covered in 1 Corinthians about boasting. Peter boasted. We're impressed with our boasting. Did you have some? Exactly.
And I mean, and it can go from being in fellowship and being filled with the Spirit and teaching to that quickly you are now it's about me.
And you're not even aware of it.
And you don't, well, all of a sudden when you do, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening.
Right.
A lot of people when they go from the filling of the Spirit to the arrogance of the flesh, they're not even listening.
And the word's coming out,
Yep. That's what I said.
I love you, I will die for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden.
That's what we're going to see in the lessons of Peter. Got some powerful things coming up next week. So, let's, anything else? This is cool. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I'm sorry for what happened to Samson. I'm sorry for what happened to Adam. I'm sorry what happened to Peter. But you've given it to us for our edification. You've given it to us as a warning, as a lesson for us to see these things. All through the Bible, men of God have failed. And yet, Heavenly Father, we see how you come along and restore and promote. How you vindicate, Father. Father, I pray you'll take these things we've seen in the three denials of Peter. See how it happened, what happened this night. The drama in this couple of hours in Peter's life. Let it settle in our soul and prepare us for the great lessons to be learned. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. For his sake. Amen. By the way, let me just say, John Hens had his surgery this morning, replacing the whole hip and all. And just before I came to class, Judy had not seen him yet, but he was in recovery, and the doctor told her that it went successful. It went very successful. And just be in prayer for John tonight as he recovers and these things happening to him. And so please be in prayer. And what about Lily yesterday?
Good news, she doesn't have to have chemo.
She does not have to have chemo. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Do what now? Okay, they don't know that. That'll come in therapy. He'll learn a lot in therapy, what he can and can't do. Yeah, he would lose some. They don't know how much or what. In fact, the doctor even said, you may not even notice it at your age. It's a horrible thing to say to a guy. Yeah. That'll keep the hip from popping out, what they did. And I got to share this with you. And I think I did Sunday anyway, but he went in today to the surgery, and he took a roll of duct tape and gave it to his doctor to duct tape. He said, good, I'll use it. No, he didn't. Okay. I don't know. I do not know. Huh?
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, full recovery, yeah. I thought you meant tonight. I don't know. 6 to 8 weeks, long time, yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week for the lessons from Peter.